The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're separated by several thousands of years, but in many ways, the time of Samuel is not that different from our own time. We need a little bit of historical context, though. The time of Samuel takes place during the period of the judges in Israel. The people have escaped slavery in Egypt. They've come into the Holy Land, but the kingdom has not yet been established. And in the book of Judges, it's basically a cycle. When people follow God, things go well. When they depart from God and his will, tragedy ensues. But at some point, God raises up a judge who is to set things right. And he restores order in the land for a time. But people in their fallenness continue to go astray. The book of Judges, chapter 21, ends with this line. "At that time, there was no king in Israel, and every man did as he saw fit." In many ways, that's our world today. Everyone does what he sees fit. We don't want to subject ourselves to any other authority. And that's the world that Samuel is born into. And immediately before our reading from 1 Samuel, it even says that at that time, the word of God was rare. And so even Samuel, who's living in the presence of the tabernacle where God himself dwells, doesn't know how to hear God's voice. In many ways, our world is not dissimilar. In a time when everyone does what seems to him right or wrong. In a time in which the word of God is rare. It's not rare that God is speaking. It's rare that we are able to hear him. Because we live in such a noisy world. And even us, devout Christians, desiring to give our lives to God, have trouble hearing him and have trouble praying. So we might be thousands of years removed from Samuel and technologically more advanced, but do we also struggle to hear the word of God? And if we're honest, the answer is yes. So I just want to give some encouragements today in prayer, because prayer for a Christian is not an option. It's a necessity. You cannot become who you were called to be without being in relation with the one who created you. And you will not be called into your heavenly home if you do not know the voice of the one who invites you. So how do we grow in prayer? We have to start with, when are we going to pray? And many times we make resolutions to pray, and we're at the start of a new year, and you might set some alerts in your phone at certain times of day. At this time, I'm going to stop and pray. But what happens when you oversleep? What happens when a meeting runs long? What happens when you haven't eaten yet and food becomes more important? What happens when you just don't feel like it or you're tired? That alert, that notification to pray becomes like any other notification on your phone. It could become as mundane as cleaning the bathroom, something that can be pushed off to later. If we really desire to pray and to develop a life of prayer, prayer cannot be one more item on our calendar to get done. It has to be what we order our day and our life around. If you're serious about your prayer and when you are going to pray, it will influence when you go to bed and when you get up, when you eat your meals, and what you prioritize. It will be the center of the day. But if it's just one more thing on the list, it will often fall off. When are you going to pray? There's not necessarily a right or a wrong time of the day to pray, because each of you are wired differently. But it has to be the priority you're living out of, and you have to stay committed to it. What are you going to pray? The beauty of our Catholic faith is there's so many ways to pray. There's so many devotions. You can pray Lectio Divina. You can pray the Rosary. You can pray and read the lives of the saints. You can use Ignatian imagination. There are so many ways to pray. There's so many options. Brothers and sisters, none of us are called to the same devotions. If there are two devotions that maybe every Catholic is called to, they would be Eucharistic adoration and the Rosary. But other than that, there's so many ways to pray. And each of you are going to come into relationship with God in a unique way. He will speak to you and you will speak to Him in a way that He might not to someone else. So how are you going to pray? What are you going to pray? You have to make some choices, because it's a struggle in this life to find time to pray. And if you feel like you have to pray everything in the course of 20 minutes you can carve out, you're not going to have productive prayer. So one goal, pick a way to pray, learn something new, and then commit to it for a defined period of time. I'm going to do Lectio Divina for 20 minutes every day for 4 weeks. That locks you in, because sometimes we try a method of prayer for a few days and we're tired of it and we want to go on to the next thing. We live in a streaming age and we live in the age of shorts where it's on to the next one. And sometimes we can treat our prayer the same way. Find a devotion. Find a way to pray. Commit to it for a specified period of time. And then at the end of that, it gives you freedom. If this way of praying is conducive for you, stay with it. If it's not, pick up something else and try that for a set period of time. But commit yourself to it. And there are so many resources out there. The Hallow app, The Chosen, Bible studies, so much offered online and through our parish to learn how to pray. And finally, why are we praying? Oftentimes we turn to prayer when we need something from God. But prayer is an invitation into relationship with someone who loves you and is constantly pursuing you. And relationships of love are not built on use. So to pray to God, not because you want something, but because you want to know Him and you want to be known. Because if we measure the success of our prayer on whether God grants us what we were asking for, then we're trying to bend God to our will and we'll be disappointed. Because God is a God who will not allow Himself to be controlled. Brothers and sisters, find the way God speaks to you. Because sometimes, like Samuel, God will speak to you in a way that sounds like a human voice. And sometimes He will speak to you through people around you. Sometimes it will be a tug of your heart. Sometimes you will see a situation and you will just have this instinct of what needs to be done. For some people, it's to sit in quiet. For some people, it's to live a life of action, but then pause at the end of the day and reflect upon it. For some of us, we need to build breaks into our day where we're going to pray in the middle of the day, we're going to pray at the end of the day, and we're going to pray before bed to ask ourselves, how have I done? So that way, we're not just writing off the whole of the day, but we're building breaks in so we can adjust through the course of the day. Prayer is essential for a Christian. We will not become who we are called to be without it. But it takes effort, and it takes fight, and it takes saying no to other things. But what happens when we live lives of prayer? We become like the disciples in today's gospel, Andrew and John. John is known as the beloved disciple. And if you want to know how much he loves Jesus, it's found in one line in today's gospel. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. John and Andrew lived lives of prayer. They prayed daily. They were looking for God to come. And when they saw Jesus, and when John the Baptist pointed him out, They heard the voice because they'd known it every day of their life. And they went and they met Jesus and they followed and their lives were changed. And John is that other disciple who's telling the story. And he's not just telling you a history, because his heart is so full of love, he cannot help but slip in little details. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. When I do marriage prep, I have two intended spouses I'm meeting for the first time. The first part we do is I tell them about me, so that way I just won't be an anonymous person in the background of their wedding pictures. But then I invite them. Each of you take a turn. Tell me about yourself. What are the important things that made you you, from the time you were born until the time you guys met and started to date? And each intended spouse does that. And then together now, you guys figure out how to tell me the story of you, from the time you met and started to date until you ended up in my office. And it is not a rare occurrence that as they tell their story of themselves as a couple and how they met and fell in love, there is some obscure detail that does not matter, that is not decisive, but which brings their hearts alive and casts a giant smile on their face. And it's not important to the story, but it's important to them, because that moment is so embedded, that time slowed down, the details embedded themselves. And as they tell the story, it's almost like they're back there. That's what happens to John as he tells you today. When he met the Lord, when his prayer was answered, when the prayers of his life were answered, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Do we have the same attentiveness to how the Lord is speaking to us? So brothers and sisters, commit yourself. When are you going to pray? And it's not just another thing on the checklist. It's what you're ordering your day, your life around. What and how are you going to pray? Pick a devotion and commit for 4 weeks, for 1 month. You will do this devotion for 20 minutes every day for 4 weeks. And then evaluate. Does this help me know God? Does this help me be loved by God? Or do I need to try something else? Commitment and freedom all in one. What and how will you pray? And then finally, why are you praying? Is God in prayer a vending machine where you expect to put one prayer in, push a button, get something out? Or are you desiring to fall in love with the God who is the love, who has never left you alone? And if we're going to preach on prayer, we're going to end today's homily in prayer. We're going to pray together the litany of rest. I'll say it aloud, but the responses are easy to pick up on. So I would invite you all to pray with me as you pick up on the responses. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the fear that I am missing out, deliver me, Jesus. From the temptation to act when I should stay still, deliver me, Jesus. From the overwhelming feeling that I have too much to do, deliver me, Jesus. From the belief that I am too unworthy to slow down, deliver me, Jesus. From restless self-seeking, deliver me, Jesus. From frustration with myself and others, deliver me, Jesus. From anxiety and fear, deliver me, Jesus. From constant busyness, from insincerity and lack of intention, deliver me, Jesus. From the belief that I must change to earn your love, that I may believe that you are in constant control, Jesus, help me to rest in you. That I may lay down my fears and burdens at your feet, Jesus, help me to rest in you. That I may surrender my all to you, Jesus, help me to rest in you. That I may still my heart to dwell with you, Jesus, help me to rest in you. That I may truly trust in your love, Jesus, help me to rest in you. That I may be more intentional with my actions, Jesus, help me to rest in you. That my ambition may be rooted in you, Jesus, help me to rest in you. That I may quiet my mind and heart to hear you, Jesus, help me to rest in you.